Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What have you injected?
Anything? Nothing.
Nothing. So there's nothing in that needle?
No. I haven't got a needle. I have a 10ml syringe with water, and I've just squirted the water. It was water.
So you've not injected him with
anything? No. No.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Let's talk about that fateful day. And like I said, this is one that is just really disconcerting because it is just so unexpected. And I know, of course, people getting murdered or harmed or sexually assaulted is always unexpected. But this case just highlights that there can be human beings in our environment that we bear no malice towards, that we have no issues with, who still can build some kind of grudge within their mindset or desire within their psyche, where their intention is to cause great harm. And you become the object of that fixation. And yet you are completely unaware of that reality. This plays out on the 2nd of July, 2024. It happens in this quiet record shop in North Allerton in North Yorkshire, and it involves the owner. So 64-year-old Gary Lewis, salt of the earth, ex-copper, all-round good guy, living his dream, having a vinyl record shop, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he is attacked by a guy called Darren Harris. And we're going to talk about Harris because there is something very disturbing about his experience and how he had access to certain things that could and would, to some degree, have killed Gary had it not been for the quick thinking of those around him. Let's talk about Darren Harris. So he's born the 6th of August, 1966. He was 58 years of age at the time of this attack. He's from Middlesbrough, which is actually where my husband was born. And let me tell you, Middlesbrough, one of the most friendly places in the UK, you could actually expect to ever encounter. But there's always wrong-uns, there's always bad people, and it seems that this particular individual certainly fits that paradigm. He was married, he had two children, he's just getting on with his life, doesn't stand out in any way, shape or form as somebody with, shall we say, some malevolent and evil intent. Had two children, they lived in this quiet cul-de-sac in a place called Amesbury Crescent in Middlesbrough, North Yorkshire. Neighbours said, listen, we didn't really socialise with him, we didn't know him very well. And one actually said, I wouldn't see him very often, but he'd say hello if I did. He was a quiet person. Quiet or festering with evil. You can make the decision at the end of this particular conversation I have with you. He didn't have any previous conviction or criminal record, but let's be clear, you don't actually have to have a criminal record to have been criminal in your life. You just need to make sure that you don't get caught. Now, in 1996, this is where his career begins. So he begins working for the NHS as a hospital porter. And I'm sure that you've all experienced what hospital porters do. They're the people who take you if you're having an operation, to theatre, they push the trolley, they wheel you around if you need to go from place to place, if you need x-rays, etc. And they're also incredibly helpful when you don't have a clue where you're going, because they know the inside and outside of the hospital like the back of their hand. And that's where he starts. But then in 2000, he qualifies as an operating department practitioner. It's known as an ODP. And then he actually works up to becoming a specialist anaesthetic practitioner in cardiothoracic theatres. And that was at the James Cook University Hospital in Teesside. 2019, he's promoted to a senior operating department practitioner role. Now, one of the things that has been reported in the press is that he's a nurse. And I just want to clarify from the very beginning of this, he's not a nurse. Even though the press have related and referred to him as a nurse, it's really upsetting for nurses, because this person does something that is absolutely disgraceful. And when you bring the term nurse in, obviously that blackens the reputation of the ridiculously large number of individuals in the UK who are there vocationally to protect and to care for people who are vulnerable. So I just want to make it clear that he isn't a nurse, but he obviously has been well trained in these crucial roles that can be very, very helpful, particularly obviously when operations are taking place. Now, ODPs, they do play a really crucial role in providing patient care. And that's patient care throughout all phases of operations. So that includes anaesthesia. So they will be the people, if you've had an operation, who assist you with your preparation. They're also the people who will be monitoring you. They'll manage your medications. I'm sure that a lot of you will have experienced an operation afterwards, aside from the anaesthetist popping in to see how your pain is and hopefully hammering you with some very nice drugs that take any away. There'll be an individual who monitors you in recovery to make sure you're okay. And that's this person. This kind of person will do this. They're equipped to do this. They're trained to do this. Also, they're the kind of individual who will prepare the surgery equipment. They'll get the instruments that they give to the surgeon. And obviously, they'll also support that surgeon throughout the operation. They'll monitor their patients after surgery and prepare them for discharge from the hospital. And they'll also maintain infection control practices. And they'll basically just contribute to the overall smooth functioning of the department. And Harris was widely regarded as a very positive person by his colleagues. He was somebody in high regard. Nobody looked at him and thought, wow, this guy's got some murderous potential within him. But you see, one of the things about human nature is everything is based on our experience. Psychologically, we have a bias, don't we? We hang out with somebody at work, we get on with somebody at work, we feel that they do a decent job. We only see that.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Surface value, and our relationship with them blurs our actual reality when it comes down to the potential of these individuals, because we don't want to believe that anyone has potential to be malevolent and evil and dangerous around the very people that they should be caring for. But we know that more often than not, in cases where people do the most intolerable things, there are so many people around them who would have just said that on a character level, they were an amazing human being. You can coexist as a human being with your shadow self and your light self, but it's when the shadow self overpowers the light self that we see the most horrendous actions play out. Now, understandably, because of this role that he has, because he's trusted both by his colleagues and within his role, he's given responsibilities like daily stock check and also replenishment of anaesthetic drugs. He also had authority to sign for drugs on delivery. He's also trusted with the keys and drugs in the department. So obviously he has access to certain things that you or I as mere mortals would not have access to. And also, even though these days, I've got to say, in hospitals, as much as the NHS, which is our free system, it's not free really, you pay a lot of taxes that actually are given to the NHS. But when you go to hospital, unlike in the States, for example, where you are delivered with a bill at the end of it, which could be just astronomical, in the UK that doesn't happen. You pay your taxes, and part of that means that you get the National Health Service. And at the moment, it is just burdened, it's just underfunded, and people have a great deal of stress working for the NHS. But they do have good systems when it comes down to drugs. You know, they're very astute at making sure that they don't fall into the wrong hands, and they monitor it very effectively. But when somebody is in charge of receiving drugs and maybe logging drugs, etc., it does give them access to fiddle the books should they wish to. Now, let's talk before we move on to what actually played out about our victim. So 64-year-old Gary Lewis. He had served as a police officer for over 30 years. So he'd been a public servant for that period of time. And that's no easy feat. 30 years as a copper, absolutely exhausting. Let me tell you, I have a lot of ex-copper friends, and very few of them have made 30 years. I've got a lot of friends who've made over 20 years, but 30 years is hardcore, and it means that this guy was obviously committed and dedicated, and let's be clear, was there to serve and protect. Now, after retiring from the police, he actually transitions into what could be considered an entrepreneurship role. He had this real passion for music, and I guess that after all those years serving, he just thought to himself that he wanted to fill his days in a way that demonstrated his passion and still had the engagement with the public, and obviously made the cash that he wanted to make as well. And the fact that he put all of that energy into a record shop, which was called Better Days Record Shop and Jukebox Showroom, it's actually located on Zetland Street in North Allerton, is something that I just find so endearing. Because I don't know about you, if I think about retiring, which will never happen, I'm going to be the oldest woman on YouTube delivering crime content. We all know that. I'll be the crime granny. But for those of us who do intend to retire, most of us just think about, I hope my pension will pay for those trips away abroad where I can just sit in the sun and tan myself. That's kind of what I think about when I imagine retirement. Doing not very much at all. As opposed to, I just think I'll start a whole new business, just buy myself a record shop and work full time. But again, that tells you something about Gary's nature, doesn't it? He'd been running this shop for over 15 years. And as you would imagine, because he specialises in vinyl, there's a lot of enthusiasts because vinyl is amazing. My husband collects it. We have a ludicrous amount of records. I mean, we have like probably 10,000. It's ridiculous. And it's a mindset because people who are really into their music, they believe that vinyl sounds just different, warmer. And also there's something, I suppose, nostalgic about vinyl. So you get communities of people who are in it more than just for the music, but for the whole psyche and culture of that. And Gary's created that kind of community. Now, apparently it had a really extensive collection of vinyls, and it also sold jukeboxes for sale or hire. So quite unique and very well loved. Now, it turns out that Harris, he'd visited the Better Days shop on just one occasion, the 29th of May, 2024. Now, apparently what happened on this visit was that Harris had sold some secondhand records to Gary. This is obviously completely commonplace for Gary because he deals with vinyl. And because people are constantly selling him vinyl, he's not going to have people that necessarily stand out who are customers. I mean, just think about that. I've worked in retail, and you don't remember the people who come into your shops on the whole, because with respect, you're seeing maybe 2,000 in a day. So it just wouldn't make sense for your brain to be able to compute and hold those memories, unless somebody does something completely outlandish, of course. But that isn't what had happened. So Gary has no reason to remember what Harris was like, and he certainly wouldn't have considered that when Harris came into his shop to sell those records, he was scouting his potential murder victim. I kid you not. Harris wasn't just there because he wanted to, you know, exchange some vinyl records for some extra cash. No, he was there for an altogether malevolent reason. He'd picked his victim. And then we get to Tuesday, the 2nd of July, 2024. Harris returns to better days. He enters the shop. This is shortly after it was open for the day. And apparently he spent several hours just browsing records that were on display. Just put yourself into that position. I'm not saying that there are not certain people who do go and spend several hours looking at vinyl records. I appreciate that people have absolute fixations with them. But I would say that it is quite unusual for somebody to actually spend that much time in a soul shop. It just puts me a little bit on edge when somebody is just hanging around for that amount of time, particularly by themselves. Now, bear in mind, Gary is actually quite vulnerable at this point because he's working by himself in the shop. But remember, Gary's an ex-copper. Gary's chased criminals. Gary's probably quite physically fit and quite handy. So he's not probably somebody who recognises his vulnerability because he's by himself, because he's got a history of dealing with individuals that, shall we say, are less pleasant than the ordinary human being. Now, it turns out that Harris actually goes over and purchases some records. Then he takes them back to his car and he's parked in this small parking area at the back of Zetland Street. Actually, the car park was meant for staff rather than members of the public, but Harris left his car there anyway, so he left it there all morning. And again, what does that tell you about the mindset of Harris? He's obviously got a plan. He's not really considering any consequences, even if that means his car getting fined or towed. He just has decided that he's above the law at this moment in time. I genuinely believe that. I think that Harris has made an absolute executive decision that he doesn't have to follow the rules and regulations, morals and ethics that you and I would follow. Now, he's parked there, and then he's spending time in the shop, but he's coming and going from better days on that day several times. And he does speak to Gary multiple times, and I guess that Gary's not really paying that much attention to it because, hey, this guy might seem a little bit eccentric, oh, he's back again, but, you know, there'll be other representations of visitors to the shop that have similar behaviours. Now, it's at this point on one of these occasions that Harris actually says to Gary, you know, I was in the shop once before, just a few weeks earlier, gave you some records. And apparently he was a little bit upset that Gary didn't remember this. Now, what is that saying about the psyche of Harris? On one level, you could say, well, maybe he's just a hugely sensitive individual who thinks that his presence should have meaning to people. That could be one, because he has some kind of narcissism running through his veins. The other is that...
think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If he's planned to do something highly malevolent, that would make him somebody that should stand out to Gary.
because obviously Harris knows his intention that we'll talk about shortly. And because Harris knows his intention and sees himself as this enormous part of Gary's future, albeit that Gary doesn't know about this, you can imagine that not being remembered really irks him, because he's thinking to himself, you have no idea who I am. Well, what I'm going to do to you will certainly make you remember me. And that's the psychology, I think, that's probably going on where Harris is concerned. Now, Harris also went to a secondhand vintage shop next door to Better Days. And that shop is also owned by Gary and is run by Susan Allen. Now, around 1:30 p.m., Susan closes the shop for lunch and she goes to Better Days just to have a chat with Gary. Gary, at this point, goes upstairs to prepare sandwiches for himself and Susan. And again, I know that, you know, I'm just drawing some assumptions about Gary's personality from his behaviour, but I just think to myself, you know, he's the owner of that shop and the one next door. What kind of a character must he have that the woman who works for him actually comes to the main shop that he owns and is going to sit down and have lunch with him and Gary's going to go and make the food? I just think, you know, what a guy. There's just something lovely about this man, isn't it? Because very often when you work with somebody, even though you like them, you connect with them, you get on with them, when you get your space, your lunch hour, for example, you just kind of want to bob off and have a bit of space from them, because at the end of the day, they're your manager or the owner and you've got some kind of authority role that they take in your life. And just escaping that for a little while tends to make you feel you've got some respite. But that's not the case. You know, she goes in, she's going to go and have a dinner with him. Now, whilst he's upstairs, Harris actually speaks to Susan for a few minutes and he ends up telling her that he works as a cardiothoracic nurse in an operating theatre. Susan, it turns out, had actually been a nurse in the past. So she really enjoys talking to Harris. It's kind of a reflection and a reconnection with a career that she'd had. Now, one of the things that she recounted about that conversation that she found a little bit strange is that he told her during this conversation that he'd once watched someone in theatre having open heart surgery. And he actually went into detail about the motion of the heart beating as it slowed and then it speeded up. But even though obviously she finds that a little bit on the disconcerting side, bear in mind, they have got a shared space. They've been in situations where they'll have dealt with very ill people. And I guess for her, she's thinking that he's just bringing information that she might be interested in. But from the outside looking in, it also shows you this macabre inclination where Harris is concerned. I mean, it's quite a strange thing to fixate on, the heart beating and then slowing and then speeding up. And I think it's really relevant to mention that because of what the crime is going to play out like, because it feels very much like that fixation has amplified and escalated to really murderous levels. Now, at this point, Susan and Gary, they then go outside, they have the sandwiches, and then a few minutes later, they both return to their shops. And at this point, they're just going through the motions of an ordinary day. Isn't it bizarre how extraordinarily ordinary lives can just absolutely disintegrate in moments? You know, there's a beauty of the humdrum existence that most of us have, like me. You get up, you go about your business, you do what you do, and you're not thinking that anything truly awful could potentially happen. It's just not the way that we live our lives. But all the while, there is this potential, isn't there? And for Gary, he's got no idea of that potential lurking, but it's right there, right next to him. So when they get back, they have no idea that in those moments, just after sitting down and eating their sandwiches, Harris had been plotting the whole day and actually for a long period of time before, because he wants to carry out something that will essentially end Gary's life. And like I said, Gary has no idea of this man's intention towards him. Now, Harris's most recent shift at James Cook University Hospital, it had ended at 7 p.m. the previous day. Now, bear in mind, obviously, when you work in a hospital, as a member of staff, you're not permitted to take drugs or equipment. This includes needles and syringes from the hospital. Clearly, that goes without saying. Harris, however, steals a hypodermic needle, two syringes, and a drug known as rocuronium. Now, a patient in an operating theatre, what will typically happen is they'll be given a sedative. I'm sure that some of you, like me, have had operations. I very much enjoy that sedative. It's the bit where they ask you to count to 10 and you're thinking, I'm going to get to 10. And inevitably, you usually get to around 6. I also get quite hysterical on those drugs, as in laughter. And I know that I'm glad it's not available freely on the streets, because I can imagine myself wanting to get hold of a little bit of it because it's very enjoyable. Now, rocuronium would be used by anaesthetists as a muscle relaxant, and that basically prepares a patient for intubation. So that enables them to be provided with mechanical breathing assistance, basically. Now, when they administer in that particular environment, the effects of rocuronium would need to be very closely monitored. And also the patient at this point will be linked up to a series of machines, because the whole premise of this is to make sure that they keep breathing. They want to make sure that their welfare and safety is absolutely protected. So he's taken this syringe of this highly effective but very dangerous in the wrong hands drug, and he's in the record shop with it. When Gary turns his back, just seated at his desk, he's reaching for change, in fact, to give Harris after he's purchased a record. Harris stabs him in the backside with a loaded syringe. Now, bear in mind, Harris has got an expectation. He's thought about this. He's fantasized about this. He's decided how it's going to play out. So he expects that Gary, within literally moments of being injected, would have gone into respiratory arrest, which basically would then lead to a cardiac arrest. So he'd imagined that Gary's going to stop breathing, and then later he'll just be found dead in the shop. And of course, people who find him will be like, oh no, he's had a heart attack. So Harris literally has this fantasy in his mind. He's obviously thought this out. This is how it's going to work. This is what's going to play out in this crime. This is what people are going to believe. He's going to go in, he's going to inject this guy, completely innocent man, very little link to him. Bear in mind, if you kill a stranger, it's much more difficult for the police to actually connect you to the crime. And he thinks he's got the perfect murder weapon, which is this syringe. It's going to be quite difficult to find a pinprick mark on the bottom. And also, when it comes down to it, Gary's at an age, even though he's fit, where heart attacks are not massively uncommon. Fatal ones are more uncommon, but nonetheless, it's contextual to some degree. And he thinks that Gary's just going to die. The police are going to come in and be like, oh, it's just a heart attack. It's terrible that we weren't able to save him. Poor Gary. And that Harris is just going to walk away scot-free. The perfect murder. That's what Harris planned. That's what Harris believed he was going to execute. Oh, and that's where Harris got it so wrong. Because perhaps due to Gary's police training, or maybe just the mass of adrenaline from what had just happened, Gary didn't collapse. In fact, Gary didn't go into instant cardiac arrest. Gary chased after Harris. So Harris is trying to get into his vehicle, and Gary's like, not happening, mate. So by the time Gary catches up to Harris, he's basically calmly taking off his coat outside the car, because understandably, he was not prepared for what was going to happen. He hadn't planned this. And then Gary understandably is shouting, what was that? As in, what have you injected me with? Harris then responded, only water, mate. Now, let me tell you. Let me tell you. If a stranger had come into your shop or anywhere and injected you with anything, I don't care whether it's water, I don't care if it's air, I don't care if it's anything, they have violently assaulted you. The idea that Harris seems to think that just injecting somebody with water is no big deal, again, what does that tell you about his mindset? What does that tell you about his impulse control? What does that tell you about his actual belief system? That somehow that would be an acceptable thing to do, no big deal. And it's almost like at this point, he's probably thinking to himself, ah, just get in my car and drive off now. I said it was only water. But again, you picked the wrong victim, because Gary just stands in front of the car and he stops Harris from being able to make his getaway. Also, he shouts for Susan Allen. By the way, this is a feat beyond human. What he has been injected with should have overpowered him way before this. And yet here he is blocking the escape of the attempted murderer and calling for help from his friend Susan. Also, he's calling for Christopher Daniel, who actually owned a nearby double glazing shop. Now, understandably, they hear his shouts. They know this is completely atypical. They're disturbed by the tone of his voice. And at approximately 2:24 p.m., they come out. And it's at this point when he realizes that help is coming. That's really interesting for me because, like I said, this is a human feat that we should not be actually exploring and seeing because he should be completely unconscious in mortal danger in that moment that he's actually been injected, just after at least. But no, he's managed to apprehend the individual who harmed him. He's managed to block the exit of that individual, and then he's actually managed to call for help from people who are genuinely invested in his welfare. Once they come out, he starts collapsing, and I think that that just demonstrates the fact that Gary was fighting desperately the effects of that drug, and then the moment that he realizes he's not alone anymore, the actual effects really do kick in. Now, they placed him on a chair directly in front of Harris's vehicle, and this is less than 3 minutes after he had been injected with the rocuronium. And obviously, at this point, we're really starting to see the disastrous effects that Gary is experiencing because of what's been injected. He's choking. His breathing's becoming harder. I can't even begin to imagine how terrifying that would be. And at this point, Harris, of course, denies injecting Gary with anything, which is just so dangerous because, of course, Gary is in a situation where they need to know what's gone into his body. They don't need somebody to be denying that anything potent has been injected because then when emergency services come, they don't know what they're dealing with, and that can lead to somebody being very badly damaged or, in fact, dying. But he's obviously thinking about saving his own skin. So at this point, he's just saying, I don't know what's going on.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He's unsure what's happening to Gary. He's just trying to plead like he knows nothing and he's an innocent party to whatever's playing out. Now, Harris at this point then squirts the remains of the contents of one of his syringes out against the wall next to his car. And Christopher Daniels like, whoa, what have you just thrown out of the window? At this point, Harris says, oh, it's just water. So he's absolutely intentional on covering his tracks. He doesn't want to help Gary. And he knows that Gary's organs are going to be shutting down at this point, which obviously is just devastating for Gary's body. Now, when Susan Allen asks Harris, what have you given him? He just refused to reply, which again demonstrates the malevolence within this man. And actually, witnesses who saw Harris said he just displayed this utter indifference at what was happening. He just wasn't concerned at all. Because a little bit like when he was fixated on watching that heart beating and then slowing, so too he's probably quite transfixed about what's playing out where Gary is concerned. Now, the police are called to the incident. They arrive about 2:30 p.m. And the officer who took Harris's car keys away from him, they said he was just really calm. When paramedics arrive, they obviously immediately begin attempts to resuscitate Gary because he was turning blue. He'd stopped breathing. Later, he's put into an ambulance, he's taken to hospital, and he died twice. But ultimately, this ox strength-wise of a man, he survived. Now, I would say that we also have to bring in the actions of Susan and Christopher. They were very, very helpful. You know, they were there before the paramedics arrived. They were protecting and looking after him. So their impact certainly will have helped save his life. But understandably, the fact that he survived is like divine intervention when you consider what I've told you.
What have you injected?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
So there's nothing in that needle?
No. I haven't got a needle. I have the 10ml syringe with water, and I've just squirted the water. It was water.
So you've not injected him with anything?
No. No.
I'm just going to put all your stuff. Are you sure that in that syringe
there was nothing other than water?
Just water.
Okay.
All right, mate. This is an urgent interview with the Police and Criminal Evidence Act. You're under caution. What is in that syringe?
It was just water.
Are you sure it's just water?
Water.
Okay. Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Now, of course, Harris knew exactly why Gary was in such a state, but he just refused to tell witnesses, police or paramedics what he'd done. That meant that he didn't help in any way where Gary was concerned on a survival level. You know, he could have said, oh, game's up, I'm sorry, this is what I injected, so they knew what they were dealing with, but he didn't want to, because his intention was that Gary would die. And bear in mind, the game might be up now, he might realise that he's facing arrest, he might realise that he's carried out this crime and that people know, but maybe that's what he wanted, to just get to kill somebody. Maybe the consequences of those actions weighed less on his conscience than the desire to actually take a life. Now, at 2:34 p.m, Harris is cautioned and asked by the police if he had injected Gary with anything. And he says, no, I've not injected him with anything. Now, later that day, he's taken to Harrogate Police Station to get questioned again. Now, during the police questioning, he gives various versions of events. Later on, he says that, listen, yeah, OK, I did have water in the syringe, but I didn't have a needle on the syringe to inject him with anything. And then in the end, he says, OK, no, I did inject Gary with water. And then he's asked why, and he said, I don't know. I just wanted to give him a shock to the system when I went to the record shop today. Right, okay, yeah. Just talk me through that. Yeah, like, you know, I said that there was no needle on it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was, but it was only water. Right, yeah. So you injected him with water. Yeah, I did. Why? You know, I just thought, might be interesting to give him a big shock. You're just feeling like this is just totally okay behaviour. Yeah, it's only water, isn't it? Yeah. I'm just gonna go and get this jacket to put on you. You'll notice you probably won't be able to move your arms after I've strapped you in. You absolute lunatic. Genuinely, the fact that he actually can have that conversation and he's like, oh, I just want to give him a shock to the system. It just beggars belief. It really does. It beggars belief. I mean, we know that he's done something far more serious, but just the idea that he can be so throwaway with this suggestion that it's just about giving somebody a shock. Bit of a prank, maybe, when it's just so diabolical on every level. He then told the police it had been working till 7 p.m. the day before and that he'd basically poured sterile water from a container into the syringe. He said, I then put my syringes and needles into my work bag and then I set off for the record store. So we're now on the, this is massively premeditated territory. He also travelled 22 miles from his home to North Allerton because he wanted to, quote, buy a couple of records. But I also came down with the intention of giving Gary a shock. Like, so bizarre that he's actually stating these realities, but really isn't connected to the seriousness of the crime. And the suggestion that he was going to go and buy a few records from Gary's shop, but he was also going to inject him. At this point, obviously, he's suggesting with water, but we all know that he was injecting him with something far more serious. He then said, I got the syringe and injected him. I thought if I just inject him, he'd panic. Gary has done nothing to this man. Even if you were injecting somebody with water, and don't get me wrong, if anybody injected me with anything, I would panic. Of course I would panic. You'd be terrified. But the very fact that he's just nonchalantly suggesting that he felt entitled to go and do this says something so deeply fractured about this man's psyche. He also said that when Gary collapsed on the floor and began having a fit, he thought it was just a panic attack. And he thought he'd gone a little bit dizzy. Now, the police ask, why on earth did you attack him? At this point, he says, oh, it was because of an altercation at the record shop on the 29th of May. He said there was an incident between him and Gary escorted him out of the building. And he said, I literally had no intention to kill him. It was just to shock him. But again, this is absolute BS. Now, we get to the 2nd of July, 2024. At this point, Harris is charged with attempted murder and administering a noxious substance, and 100% rightly so. But it's not until November 2024 that Harris actually admits to injecting Gary with rocuronium. That comes after the police secure CCTV footage from the shop and also the surrounding areas, and it shows Harris's movements and the attack itself. They also collected the syringe used in the attack, and medical staff confirmed traces of rocuronium. So bang to rights, mate. It wasn't water. They've got all the evidence they need. You're guilty as hell. So at this point, he doesn't really have a choice. In the UK, if you choose to go not guilty and then all this evidence is presented, which absolutely clarifies you are 100% guilty, you're going to get a sterner sentence. So you're saving your own skin when you plead guilty, when that kind of evidence is so weighted against you, because it means you're going to get a reduced sentence. So he pleads guilty to administering a noxious substance, but he does actually deny attempted murder and grievous bodily harm with intent, which is a bit bizarre, because he say, yes, I did administer a noxious substance, but I didn't actually want to harm him. As if in the history of people who are going to murder people, don't actually want to harm you with the weapon that they're using against you. But you can see how he's playing with it, isn't it? And again, this is indicative of narcissistic temperament. Somebody who genuinely thinks, well, I will take claim and responsibility for actually doing this part of the crime. But the really serious part of the crime, where, you know, I could serve quite a long time in prison, I'll be like, no. Yes, I did inject him, but I had no malicious intent whatsoever. That's kind of the mindset of what he's saying here. Of course he attempted to murder him. Of course it was grievous bodily harm with intent. Of course that is clear. But he just wants to say, oh, no. It was just one of those things. I just wanted to shock him. And essentially, that's why I used this basically lethal drug. Now, the trial begins on...
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
On the 20th of January, 2025, it starts at Leeds Crown Court, and it concluded on the 28th of January, 2025. The presiding judge was Simon Phillips, and the prosecution was led by Richard Herman. Now, the first witness for the prosecution was the star of the show, essentially, Gary Lewis, and rightfully so. This guy had 30 years in the force. He'll have been in court. He'll have been cross-examined. He'll be a strong candidate to tell the jury exactly what happened. And he speaks to the jury and says that he'd run better days since 2010, clarifies that he was working on the day of the incident and was alone. And he said, when Harris entered the shop, he just seemed like this really normal, friendly customer. He was talking to him about his wife, and he expressed to the jurors that Harris had said to him that his wife was allowing him to create a music room in his house and how he was looking forward to that. And he wanted to play the music in that room, and he wanted to talk about the equipment that he wanted to play on it. He said it was a really, really friendly conversation. And he recalled that Harris first spoke to him saying something along the lines of, "You won't remember me, but I came in weeks ago and sold you some records." He also said, "Listen, this suggestion that I got into an altercation with Harris is absolutely ludicrous. I never got into an altercation with him on the 29th of May. I would have remembered it." He said, "This would have been the first time it would have ever happened in my shop. I've never argued inside the shop." He said, "Yes, I have twice banned politely two people in the time I've owned the shop. And that was genuinely a casual word on the street. There was nothing that happened inside the shop. So I would remember if I had an altercation with somebody because it would have literally been the first time in the history of me owning the shop." And he said, "Harris literally did nothing to cause him alarm at first. There was nothing suspicious in his nature as far as he was concerned." He then said, "I became aware out of the corner of my eye that suddenly he was behind me. So his head was level with my hip. And then he stabbed me between the armrest and the base of the chair. He said, I felt a prick. I somehow knew it was needly. It was just too fine to be a knife." And he said he didn't say a word when he did it. He said, "I don't exactly recall what I did." He said, "I might have shouted or even sworn. What was that?" As he was running out, he said, "I can't describe it." He said, "Whether it was adrenaline or my police training, I don't know. I just ran after him." So as we know, that's why he was caught, because Gary found this unbelievable superhuman strength and actually managed to stop his killer, at least potential killer, in his tracks. So when he recalled the effects of the drug and expressed that to the jury, he told the court, "I started to feel dizzy and then I felt my legs go numb. And I told Sue, who was at this point on the phone to the police and the ambulance, how I was feeling. And I remember just becoming more and more unable to move." So he's basically getting paralyzed by this drug. He said, "I was losing consciousness. I tried to move something to let people know I was still conscious. I tried hands, head, voice, feet. And I remember Sue shouting towards the phone, 'He's fitting.' He said, I actually thought I was going to die. I couldn't breathe. I was choking. It was the most frightening feeling I have ever experienced." And then they asked him to talk about the mental impact of the attack, which is obviously going to be huge. And he said, "When you realise that you nearly died because of something someone did to you, that doesn't make you better. You don't recover. I'm not recovered now. I probably never will. Psychologically, I am a long way from recovering. I'm wary of people being behind me and near me. There are also so many reminders of what happened that day, every single day. I'm back to my shop every day. I'm back to the place where someone tried to kill me. I can't avoid that." Obviously, he's talking about that post-traumatic stress reaction to a situation that's made him feel utterly vulnerable. And it's really sad, isn't it? Because this guy served and protected for 30 years. He will have faced some very challenging situations. And interestingly as well, because I've worked with so many police officers and my friends, many of them are ex-police officers, one of the things that I will often see is that after they leave the force, they go through periods of complex post-traumatic stress, because the trauma and stress of being in so many situations where they've seen things that you or I would never wish to see, it compounds over time, and they may never feel those actual reactions until something triggers them when they've left the force. It can be a very long-term period before they go through that traumatic response. And for somebody like Gary, he's probably hoarded a million of these psychological traumatic events, emotional episodes, and then he's managed to contain it. But then all of a sudden, this man out of the blue comes in, unprovoked, tries to kill him. And all of those other horrendous events that he'll have witnessed, they just come into play. It's like a triggering event. I'm not saying that's absolutely what happened, but it would not be unusual for that to play out in this circumstance. Now, Dr. Alistair White, who's the consultant at James Cook Hospital who treated Gary Lewis, He came into court to talk about the impact of the drug rocuronium. He said, we generally give paralyzing agents to patients who are about to intubate immediately. He said, in my mind, if you administer a drug like this, the expectation is the patient will stop breathing for a long enough amount of time that the level of CO2 will go high enough and the oxygen will go low enough. And at this point, the patient isn't assisted, that the heart will stop and you will die. So he's saying, you know, that's my understanding of this drug. Then they bring in Dr. David Berry, who's the forensic and clinical toxicologist. He's obviously an expert witness. And he then explains more to the jury about the risks associated with rocuronium. And he says, listen, the main issue, the main risk is to the breathing muscles. If they stop working, if they're not breathing, then obviously the danger will be that there's no oxygen entering the system and then death will ensue. And certainly the description of what Gary said in court, it demonstrates exactly that, doesn't it? He was saying, you know, he was choking, he was going numb, he couldn't feel himself, he couldn't act in any way because he was completely paralyzed, and the paralysis of the lungs is obviously going to cause death. He also went on as his expert witness to say that a standard dose of rocuronium administered in hospital conditions, so including supporting equipment to maintain the breathing, obviously, and the oxygen levels with full monitoring, would be 5 milliliters per hour. Harris injected Gary with 20 milliliters of rocuronium. Let that sink in. Four times the amount that would be administered in hospital. And Gary, somehow, because I don't know, he's one of the extra members of the Avengers that we aren't aware of, that man managed to sustain himself, to apprehend the attempting murderer, and to actually prevent him leaving whilst also calling for help so that his life could be saved. It is absolutely astonishing to imagine the emotional, physical, and psychological will that Gary had. My God, that man wanted to survive against all the odds, and he made damn sure that he did against the odds. Genuinely, it is mind-blowing. Now, they also bring in cardiothoracic matron at James Cook Hospital, a woman called Maria Stokes. She worked with Harris since 2017. And she said, listen, Harris worked in the theatres. He was absolutely a senior member of the team who he trusted to take charge. He was really good at understanding all of the drugs used in the operating theatre. Yes, I bet he was. I bet he had a rather unhealthy view and interest in those drugs. And we'll tell you why. Because he was plotting killing people. But obviously, when it stands out for a different reason, i.e. you're professional and engaged, people will think well of you. She also said he would need to ensure patient safety. He needs to know what drugs are required and what and how they work, the correct dosage, the potential side effects, and he would need this to allow him to anticipate the needs of the anaesthetist and the patient and allow him to intervene in the event of an emergency. Let me just tell you, I have absolute fear about all the patients that he's been involved in at hospitals. I wonder how many people died. Did they ever do some kind of review of those interactions and engagements that he had? Because this kind of a thing doesn't just bubble to the surface one day. There is something deeply problematic in the psyche of this human. He's been caring for people in their very vulnerable states. Now, Detective Constable Martin Ryder, he presented CCTV evidence to the jury, which showed Harris's previous visit to the shop on the 29th of May, 2024. And it highlights, guess what? There was no altercation. And also, there was literally no known association between Harris and Gary, so that indicates a complete lack of motive. Then we have Susan Allen, who obviously is a great friend and works for Gary. She worked in the vintage shop Yesterdays, which is located next door, as I said, to Better Days. And actually, she provided this witness statement, which was read by Herman in court. She said, it was around mid-morning. A male entered my shop. He had a look around for a few minutes, then left. Then went to Better Days around 1:30. Whilst in his shop, I noticed the same man that had been in my shop, but I didn't think too much about him at that stage. She then said, I heard Gary shout my name twice. He shouted in a manner like he needed assistance. And my first thought was someone had stolen something. The same man from the shop was pacing around his car. My first thought was to get a quick picture in case he'd stolen something. Then Gary replied, "Call the police. He stabbed me." So again, very powerful witness testimony there because she's a first person witness. Now, Hayley Weatherall, she's a woman who works in a hair salon two doors down from Gary's shop. Bear in mind, Gary's been there 15 years. So there's going to be a community of shopkeepers, so he's well known. She gave a statement to be read out about how she found Harris while Gary was deteriorating in the street. She said, "He just sat there, shrugging his shoulders. It was like he thought it was ridiculous that any of us were trying to stop him. I think I recall him saying, 'This is ridiculous. I've done nothing.'" She said it was like he was watching a TV program. Well, I would argue that psychopaths are very effective at compartmentalizing. They can seem very disassociated. Others can be watching the unfurling horror and they just are completely detached. Why? Because they have the emotional cogency of a rock. Literally, of a rock. Although rocks are probably more useful than psychopaths. Now, there's also a taxi driver who happened to come across the scene, a guy called Robert Wilbore, and he said it was really unnerving because Harris was really calm. He wasn't reacting to anything. He was just sat in his car, and he said it was like nothing had happened. He said it genuinely looked like he wasn't remotely bothered by anything. And again, that is just so disassociated from reality, isn't it? I mean, just put yourself into the position where you have carried out some kind of random crime that could be construed as attempted murder. You are going to be panicking like hell if you are a typical human. And obviously that would be an atypical action, but nonetheless, as a typical human, you would be thinking to yourself, "Oh my God, I'm in really serious trouble now. You've ruined my life because you've caught me. My kids are going to be devastated. My wife's going to be devastated." But no, Harris is just completely detached from that. He doesn't think he's done anything wrong. As far as he's concerned, yes, people are trying to stop him, but he is just a bit annoyed by the inconvenience. Now, when it came down to the court case, Harris actually refused to defend himself or to answer any questions. He exercised his right to silence. He was actually warned by the judge about the impact on the jury.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Terms and conditions apply.
Of refusing to talk because, understandably, the jury is listening, the jury is watching, the jury is intrigued and interested by your motives or by your explanation, even by your excuses. Give us something, but he gives them nothing. Now, no other defense witnesses were called. And this is quite strange, isn't it? Because when you think about the fact that he's pleaded guilty to a certain aspect of the crime, but the more serious ones he's denied, you need to be able to explain your case if any jury is going to believe you. So it's really unsurprising that on the 28th of January 2025, the jury deliberated for, I think it's the record, I'm going to throw it out there, guys, I think it's a record on this channel, the jury deliberated for 25 minutes. 25 minutes. I've literally thought about what I'm going to eat for dinner for longer than 25 minutes. I mean, I have literally lost a good 45 to 50 minutes of my life just considering what kind of sandwich will I have today? The jury taking 20, I mean, I'm not even sure that I've got to the room where they made the decision. I don't know whether they just stayed in court. We're like, Marie, John, Alan, Stacey, you guys, are we just gonna all get those cards that we wrote earlier on and said, yeah, just hold them up. Like we're on Strictly, just hold them up. One of them would have shouted seven, wouldn't they? Sorry, it's a actual program that we have in the UK, a dance program. And there used to be a guy called Len who would always go seven when you got a score that was mediocre. Anyway, I digress. The point is 25 minutes. If I was the prosecution, I would literally want to run around the courtroom just high-fiving everyone, in particular high-fiving the jury. Because with respect, it shows that they've done a stellar job in the conviction, but it also demonstrates that the jury just knew that there is absolutely no way whatsoever that Darren Harris is innocent and that he absolutely deserves the full weight of the law. And also, there is something powerful, I think, in that action for Gary, because his life has been absolutely turned upside down. And I just think the validation and the reinforcement and the compassion of that jury doing it so quickly, saying this is absolutely without a shadow of a doubt a guilty verdict. You did not deserve what happened to you. And this man is a dangerous perpetrator. Again, it just really emphasizes the hell that Gary has been through, and it validates that hell. So as I've said, the jury unanimously convict Harris of attempted murder in what can only be described as record time. And the court do order a psychiatric report before Harris is actually officially sentenced. Judge Phillips said, I'm particularly interested in what the psychiatrist might say about risk and what risk the defendant poses to the public in the future. So that psychiatric evaluation was conducted by Dr. Quinn, and they concluded that Harris was suffering from mild to moderate depression and said it cannot be dismissed that Harris might have been mildly depressed at the time of the offence, and said that this was basically due to his busy employment responsibilities and also apparently some chronic long-standing neck pain. Dr. Quinn also said that this clearly isn't an excuse for Harris's behaviour, but if we're looking for contributory factors, it could be a contributing factor. I get that, but can you imagine if when you've got some mild to moderate depression, and let's be honest, depression is horrible, mild, moderate, severe, it's awful, it's so exhausting. But how many of you have been through periods? I mean, most of us go through periods of depression at some point in our world, because life can be challenging and we all go through suffering. But none of us sit there and are like, ah, I'm feeling really depressed. What I probably need to do is murder somebody. Come on. Imagine how many people would be dead on our streets on a daily basis if that mild to moderate depression led us to grievously injure or kill people. Now, Gary did give a victim impact statement because he wanted to ensure that Harris received an appropriate sentence, because this is attempted murder. It's attempted murder. It's as simple as that. He said that Harris had demonstrated an exceptional level of cruelty and malevolence. He said he watched me lose consciousness. He watched me die. And he did nothing to help. He also reinforced that he died twice, once in the street behind my shop and again in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. He said, during 30 years in the police service, I witnessed and I experienced many violent acts. I was long retired. I was happy. I was in the business that I built. I thought I was safe in my shop. Nothing in my life prepared me for the sheer terror and panic I felt. I will never recover from that near-death experience. If I didn't have the strength to chase after you, I would have collapsed and it would have been put down as a heart attack. He actually also invited Harris to contact me and explain why he wanted me to die. And I understand that. I understand that for Gary, he's got so many questions. It's like, why me? Because you have to consider the psychological impact on victims in that way. Why me? What was it about me? What was it that made you want me dead? Because ultimately, even though the reality is that Harris will have just chosen a random victim, probably because he thought he was going to get away with it, for Gary, it's not random. For Gary, it's absolutely directed. He went through it. So you can understand that he wants to understand all the nuances as to why. Now, the likelihood is, it's probably that he worked alone in a shop. He was older than Harris, so Harris mistakenly believed that he wasn't as strong and probably couldn't deal with the drugs that were injected into him, and that people would just believe that it was a heart attack and people wouldn't be in the shop at the time because it was quite quiet and he's a random person, which will make it easy for him to get away with. That's probably the reasoning behind it. But for Gary, he wants more. Or at least he wants an explanation of what I've just said, so he can realise that, yes, that makes you feel vulnerable because you don't know who's around you and you don't know what kind of intention they've got, but at least it wasn't personal. All of those things you can understand need to be answered. Now, the sentencing actually had to be delayed, and the reason for that was there were issues and errors with the pre-sentence report. So Judge Phillips said the pre-sentence report was, quote, virtually of no assistance, which isn't helpful. Now, the author of the report had mistakenly thought that Harris was being sentenced for count 3, injection of noxious substance. Now, we know that was what he'd already pled guilty to, but that was obviously incorrect. There were more serious charges. Now, the sentencing was on Friday the 11th of April, 2025. And guess what? He got a life sentence. So he got a minimum of 15 years and 84 days. That was reduced from 16 years for time served. So even though when you think about the gravity of this crime, you kind of think this guy probably shouldn't walk the streets ever freely. And if we were looking at somewhere like America, it's very likely that he wouldn't be walking the streets freely for decades. The UK has, what can I say, far more lenient rules when it comes down to sentencing. The judge said the inescapable conclusion is that you chose to do this appallingly cruel and cowardly act because it was in your power to do so. Judge Phillips also commended the actions of Susan Allen, stated, your presence of mind and exceptionally well-focused actions contributed to the outcome that Mr. Lewis did not lose his life that afternoon. Went on to say that she demonstrated great compassion and courage. When it came down to the post-sentence statements, Gary Lewis told the press, my life and that of my family and friends and colleagues have been irrevocably changed by the violent and unprovoked actions of Darren Harris that day in July. And the senior investigating officer, DCI Matthew Wilkinson, said, this unprovoked attack left Mr. Lewis with serious injuries. Although the physical injuries may heal, the mental trauma of this attack will stay with Gary for life. I hope today's sentence goes some way to helping Gary come to terms with what has happened. Then Edmund.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A call from the CPS, the Crown Prosecution Service. They said, Harris attempted to murder the victim in an entirely indiscriminate attack. We cannot imagine the terrifying impact of this attack, which left the victim paralyzed at the time, but with the full knowledge of knowing what was happening to him, including the risks of death. Harris showed no remorse for his attack and constantly denied he attempted to murder the victim. Now, one of the things that was really provoked by this case was nurses' reaction, because they were really upset with the misidentification of Harris as a nurse by the police, the prosecutors, and by the national media. They actually used this as an example of why the nurse title needs to be protected in law. So, North Yorkshire Police, they referred to Harris as a nurse several times, and in one instance, they identified him as an anaesthetist nurse at an NHS hospital. The CPS said that he was a nurse of 24 years experience, but South Tees Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, they confirmed to the Nursing Times that he was not on the Nursing and Midwifery Council register. So he absolutely was not a qualified nurse. And Paul Trevor, who's a nurse and member of the Protect Nurse campaign, said the case was literally the latest sign of a growing trend of the nurse job title being misused. Protect Nurse is basically lobbying the UK government to give legal protections for the title of nurse. So this would make it illegal for someone to claim they are a nurse if they are not registered with the NMC. And that makes perfect sense, because I don't know about you, if I want to go into hospital and get treated, I'm going to hope that the person treating me is a qualified nurse. I appreciate in the NHS there are different jobs that different people do, and we like to amalgamate them into this homogenous lump of individual professionals, but you can understand that nurses are qualified, they're experienced practitioners, and they don't want that title being misused, particularly when it's levied in the direction of somebody who tried to literally murder an innocent man. So I think those protections are probably something that the government certainly need to consider. This case, like I said, is one that just blows your mind. The indiscriminate nature of the attack, the victim who literally did nothing wrong, and the fact that, to all intents and purposes, it was almost the perfect murder. If Gary hadn't had that superhuman strength, then he would have been found dead on the floor of his record shop, probably by his colleague. The ambulance would have been called. It would have been considered a cardiac episode. And he would have been given the funeral, sent off by his loved ones, and Harris would have walked away from what he believed was the perfect crime. It's astonishing to imagine that these kind of human beings exist in our community and have access to the very things that can kill. And even though Harris got caught, it does make you think, how many other deaths have happened in this way and been ruled as natural causes? Because if it's happened once, it's got to have happened multiple times. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
QTS is building more than a data center in Dane County. We're partnering with Alliant Energy to enable 750 megawatts of new renewable energy sources, supporting sustainable generation while lowering costs. We use a closed-loop, water-free cooling system that conserves billions of gallons of water each year. And we're investing millions locally, from scholarships and workforce development to nonprofits and first responders. QTS, powered by people, driven by purpose. Paid for by QTS.